The resemblance of my remarks to arguments offered to the two other speakers is purely accidental. I was told that in science, in any scientific analysis, especially in the social science, you deal with the help of analogies. The analogy is a very important instrument of a scientific discourse. There is, however, always the danger that what we are talking about is not an analogy at all, but a metaphor. You may have gathered from my observations that I am both parochial and pedestrian. I'm chiefly concerned with foreign policy and strategy, and I'm pedestrian chiefly by addressing myself to the question, how to? I believe that most of us, when we talk about Western civilization, are talking in metaphors. We have somewhere in the back of our mind the Greco-Roman Christian heritage. Some of us think about the Crusades, others think about the Enlightenment, others again think about the great age of liberalism of the 19th century, and somehow this is all happily scrambled, and after we have scrambled it, we say we have Western civilization. Now, I believe that any order, any great social and political order, manifests itself through its actions. To that extent, I'm Bergsonian. I believe that it is the daily plebiscite, the daily exposure of the élan vital, which manifests the life of a, quote, civilization, unquote. In brief, I'm not being very subtle. It's what we do every day. This is what makes a civilization. And what we do every day has to be addressed to concrete problems, to concrete questions. Now, I believe the most pressing question, and this is this whole problem of how to establish priorities in this world of ours, is to unite what can be united. We cannot unite with the peoples of behind the Iron Curtain and of China, because there are certain gentlemen who won't let them. Now, most certainly, I agree with Dr. Pisani. We should do everything to formulate our arguments concisely, our political science arguments, and to get them across. And to do that, we have to use all kinds of very concrete techniques how to get them across. I mean, that is a very complicated problem and really a technical problem. First, we've got to get the arguments, the ammunition, and then we have to get the means of delivery. And the means of delivery for arguments are today exactly as complex as the means of delivery of ICBMs. And we have to have a government that understands that, that provides the organization for that operation, which, of course, our government hasn't done. But the most important question, which I think was raised by Dr. Pisani, is the organization of what can be organized. He said that no country, not even the United States, can afford the technology of modern war. It's so expensive. The fact is that the Atlantic peoples, and I much rather say Atlantic peoples than Western civilization, because I think that's something we can lay our hands on. We know that there are certain peoples called the Atlantic peoples who have more or less the same political organization, we have more or less the same political and ethical ideals, and who incidentally among one another do 80% of the world's trade. I believe that these Atlantic people together have the resources to do anything they want in this world, including unseating the communist regimes, provided they really pull together. Now, this is not going to happen by spontaneous combustion. If you look at the history of any effort at unification, at creating regional unions, at supranational unions, you find that these creations were the work of one leader. This is, again, one of these metaphors of our domestic political discourse. namely that there were 13 colonies, and somehow by spontaneous combustion, these 13 colonies became the United States. Well, nothing further from the truth. It was the leadership of Virginia, and finally the leadership of Virginia and Massachusetts, that advised the others that they better pull together. It was the same case of the Federation of Switzerland. It was the Canton of Bern, the strongest and most powerful, that unified Switzerland. And as a matter of fact, the Bernese even fought a war for it. Same about the unification of Germany. It was Prussia that led the unification of Germany. Now, this great world of ours that supposedly is going to defend Western civilization is not going to come about if the United States does not provide the leadership. And the United States is not going to provide the leadership as long as it is going to be caught like Balaam's ass between the two hay bales of hay, namely a global role in Asia and Africa and Lord knows where and the underdeveloped peoples, and also making the Atlantic Community. You have to make up your mind which you want. If we really want the Atlantic Community, then to be sure, to some extent, the rest of the world is going to get shortchanged. And the rest of the world is not going to like us for it. The fact is that the Hindus and the Africans and the Southeast Asians and even our Latin American friends really don't like the idea of a strong United West. Because they feel that such a strong United West is going to push them around. And they're right. A strong United West is going to push them around. There's no doubt about it. Push them around, hopefully in the right direction, in the image of our ideals of good government and decent human relationships. But most surely, it will assume a leadership, and the leadership will never suit all parties. Now, it is these hard decisions we have to make, because otherwise, like Balaam's ass, we go to starve in the middle, which in this particular case means the withering of our own national power. Well, how to do it? At this point, I'm always asked by my audiences, well, Dr. Strauss-Huppe, what do you propose? Do you propose the President of the United States shall go out on the lawn of the White House and say, people of the West, unite? My answer is that's exactly what he should do. He should go out on the lawn of the White House and say, peoples of the West, unite. You have nothing to lose but your disunity and ultimately your heads. I thank you.